Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
WBUR's Anthony Brooks has been talking with people affected by the explosions and fires. Anthony joins us now from a shelter in North Andover. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Good. First, tell us about the shelter you're visiting now.
Okay, so I am right now at the gymnasium of the North Andover High School, and this has been turned into a temporary Red Cross shelter. Last night, they had about 65 people here who were driven out of their homes because of these mandatory evacuations or because some of their homes actually caught fire and burned. Most people found places with friends and family to stay, but about 65 people stayed here last night. There are about 20 people here still today. Red Cross officials expect more people back tonight.
I know you found a lot of stories. Can you tell us about some of the people you've met today?
Yeah, well, I walked through a couple of different neighborhoods. I was on Herrick Street, where there was a house that burned last night. I spoke to Kelly Davis. She's a North Andover resident. She lives on Herrick Street and just up the road from the house that burned last night.
It's kind of like a war zone all of a sudden last night. My little daughter, she was scared to death, and I couldn't find my cat, so it was confusing. It was scary, I guess is the good word to use. I stayed calm for her, but that's basically, we were all scared.
I also spoke to Leslie Kaplinski, who lives right next door to that house on Herrick Road that burned last night. She was carrying a quart of strawberries over to the residents who were there and trying to salvage what they could. They did not want to talk to reporters, but Leslie Kaplinski did, and she told me what it was like to watch her neighbor's house burn.
We saw that it was smoldering, but we understood that there weren't enough fire trucks to deliver the water from the hydrants to the house, and it's just so sad to see it had smoldered for several hours before they were able to actually put water on it, and we feel horrible that our neighbor has lost their home, and it's very sad, and what can we do for them? They need everything at this time.
Well, Anthony, the initial chaos of yesterday is over, but of course a lot of work still needs to be done to get people back into their homes. How are residents feeling about the response from public officials and utility workers?
You know, I'm actually impressed. I mean, everybody wants to know what happened. But for the most part, I've encountered a lot of gratitude from the folks up here, and they've said how this community has come together and that people have really taken care of each other. I saw a sign outside somebody's house thanking first responders. But people also want answers. I spoke to Kelly Davis in North Andover. We heard from her just a moment ago. And here's the way she talked about how people are dealing with the crisis so far.
Even as everybody wants to know what happened, and I don't even think they know yet, and they've all been really good. They've been responsive. They've been kind. They've been helpful.
But Sharon, others are a little more emphatic and say they really want to understand what happened. And they're mad. I mean, I heard from Sarah Wellick. She did not evacuate, but she lives close to several houses that caught fire. She saw it. She's scared. And she says she really wants answers.
Your utilities company, you put 100% trust into them. And for something at this magnitude to happen, somebody did something very wrong or miss something along the way.
Anthony, we know there's an outpouring of support for people affected by this catastrophe. We've known about people dropping off supplies at area shelters. How much help has that been?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. So I've talked to Red Cross officials here and others, and they say the community has been great. They've been getting donations from all kinds of people and businesses, and that's good. But they really make it clear what kind of donations are the most useful. Barbara Burnside is a disaster relief and mission coordinator for New England for the United Methodist Church.
You can do things like organizing a fundraising campaign. Please do not donate stuff unless it's requested. But all kinds of organizations need money.
And Sharon, we hear this every time we cover a disaster, that people are generous at heart and their impulse is to go into their basements and pick up all kinds of stuff that they don't need and then drop it off at some disaster relief place. Barbara Burnside and other disaster relief coordinators say, while that's well-intentioned, it's actually not helpful. There's no capacity to distribute the stuff, and these piles of undistributed stuff and unwanted possessions and clothes and whatever it is ends up creating a kind of disaster after the disaster.
Anthony, thank you.
Sharon, you're welcome.
That's WBUR's Anthony Brooks in North Andover.